Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Americans for Prosperity right here at Union Station. Everybody can hear us better now tonight, right? Very good. All right. That's great. We finally have a sound system that allows the audience to interact a little bit better. We're happy you joined us this evening here at your local liberal, well, in this case, mobile resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles, you know, those things that drive liberals crazy, limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple of events coming up later. I was going to say this month, but it's actually technically next month. Starts tomorrow. June 18th, the Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting a Republican governor's candidate roundtable discussion. We can't call that a debate because the state party is limiting who can debate. But it's a conversation. All of the GOP gubernatorial candidates have confirmed, except Vicky Schmidt. I don't know why, but for some reason, Vicky Schmidt doesn't want to be a part of our conversation. But Stacey Rogers, all the other candidates will be there, and we'll have an open conversation with all of the candidates. That's coming up on June 18th, and that'll be our part of our monthly meeting with the Sedgwick County Republican Party at the Wichita Area Builders Association. And then coming up on the 27th, we will be having the official debate of the lieutenant governor's candidates. That will be an official debate, and it'll be at the Cozine Event Center. So mark your calendars for both of those events. And you can find more information on both of those events on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Got a great schedule for you this evening here at our live event here at Americans for Prosperity's office at Union Station. By the way, they've got great, they got some fresh pizza. We got a big crowd tonight, so come on down and join us. My buddy Dion Leffler, the opinion editor from the Wichita Eagle, will be here at 8 o'clock. Dion doesn't seem to like our attorney general very much, so we're going to talk to him about why he's got a little bit of an axe to grind with Chris Kobach. And we're also going to talk with Representative Pat Proctor, who at this point has no Republican opponents because there was some refilings yesterday. So we'll talk with Pat Proctor about his campaign for Secretary of State. Senator Renee Erickson will update us on the latest education funding task force. They found a new report from 2018 to 2025. K-12 schools are down, and Kathy Bond, former school board member, can tell us about this, that K-12 schools in Kansas are down 16,000 students, but have increased their employees by 1,500 hires. Hey, amazing how that works. Fewer students, more employees. Amazing how that works. And we'll take audience comments, and we'll do some interviews with folks here in the room, and of course, we'll hear from our live studio audience, and take your calls at 316-869-1330. As I mentioned, tomorrow is the candidate filing deadline here in Kansas. So you've got a few hours if you want to file for office, if you want to be a precinct person, or if you want to challenge Pat for a second. No, he's waving, don't file again. So you don't want to run against Pat. But as with any, you know, the deadline that comes, it's a healthy thing. It's necessary. And frankly, it's fundamental to representative government. Competition. It's a good thing. We like that. But over the next few months, then Republicans are going to have debates, we're going to have disagreements, we're going to have contested primaries. Candidates are going to draw contrasts, challenge each other's records, and make the case for why they should be the Republican nominee going into November. It's a good thing. That's exactly how the process is supposed to work. Primaries are where parties work out the differences. They're where the voters decide what direction they want their party's nominee to take. They're where ideas are tested, records are examined, and candidates are held accountable. There's nothing wrong with that. We like that concept, that idea. In fact, avoiding those debates is often how parties end up nominating candidates who can't inspire their base. They can't or won't articulate a vision or don't actually represent the principles they claim to support. Some candidates need, or frankly, should be primaried. I could think of one or two. But there's another reality that Republicans need to remember. Yes, Pat, I was implying somebody. But there are some things that need to remember, and that is the day after the primary ends, the real opponent isn't another Republican. The real opponent is the Democrat. The reason we've had to endure 8 years of Democrats in the governor's office is because we didn't unite behind our Republican nominees. And if Republicans are going to win in November, we must unite behind our eventual Republican nominee for governor, even if it is someone we didn't like. That's how elections are won. Democrats understand this. They may fight like cats and dogs during their primaries, but once the nominee is chosen, they close ranks and they focus on victory. Republicans must do the same. But, and this is an important but, that doesn't mean the primary process should be meaningless. Unity after the primary only works if Republican voters have confidence in the nominee they've selected. And that's why these next few months matter. The candidate who emerges from a Republican primary should be someone who shares our Republican values, embraces our Republican principles, and supports the Republican Party platform. After all, if the R behind someone's name is only the only thing that makes them a Republican, then what does the label even mean? You've got candidates with an R next to their name whose voting records can, you know, basically concern many conservatives, causes us to raise our eyebrows. Kansans for Life, for example, has openly criticized Vicky Schmidt for her voting record on abortion, for example, and rightly so. Maybe these candidates vote with Democrats on key issues. Maybe they campaign one way and govern another. Maybe they run as conservatives but govern as moderates. Or maybe they vote to raise taxes or vote against the Second Amendment. Or like Vicky Schmidt, they have a record that goes against core party platform issues. So what exactly makes somebody a Republican in the first place? A good example is my friend Dion Loeffler from the Wichita Eagle, who will be with us later tonight. He has been and is a registered Republican and has been for decades. He is a registered Republican. But do any of you really consider him a Republican? If Dion Loeffler ran for public office against a conservative incumbent, would or should, for example, Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment apply to Dion Loeffler? Because Reagan himself wasn't just about unity, he was also about principles. The Republican Party isn't simply a ballot designation, it's a set of beliefs. A set of core beliefs, unlimited government, individual liberty, fiscal responsibility, strong families, secure borders, public safety, the Constitution, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, traditional values. If a candidate has posted on Facebook or social media or written articles or voted for Democrats for decades, then all of a sudden decides to run for office as a Republican, should his history value matter? Should it matter? Republican voters have every right to ask whether candidates seeking their support actually embrace their party. It's not disloyalty to ask these questions, it's due diligence. That's the purpose of a primary election. Tomorrow's filing deadline officially begins that conversation. Some races will be competitive, some will get heated, some candidates may disappoint us, others may inspire us. But as Republicans, we need to keep two thoughts in our heads at the same time. First, use the primary process to choose the best possible nominee, one who best reflects our values and our party platform, and who is best positioned to defeat the Democrat. And second, when Republican voters make that choice, rally behind the nominee to focus on beating Democrats in November. Because primaries are for deciding who represents us, general elections are for deciding who will govern us. We'll take a quick break, and then Senator Renee Erickson will update us on the latest education funding task force, showing between the last, 5 or 6 years, K-12 schools are down 16,000 students, but have increased 1,500 employees. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one, folks. Less than 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Kansas Supreme Court selection process. 21 states already use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. We need to do that here in Kansas. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So Kansas schools have lost more than 16,000 students over the past decade, yet according to data presented to the Kansas Education Funding Task Force recently, districts have added more than 1,500 employees during that same period. Now, critics may say that's evidence that the problem isn't funding, it's how schools are spending their taxpayer dollars. But school districts continue to argue that they're, quote, underfunded, and are even suing the state for more money. I thought the governor keeps saying that we're adequately funding schools, though. So, she's the school funding governor, apparently. Joining us now to help break down these numbers and what they mean for Kansas taxpayers is State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, thank you for joining us. We're sorry you're not here with us live, but still rather glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, always a pleasure, John, and love your intro music as always.
Thank you. Well, it's appropriate for this topic for sure. The headline numbers are pretty striking. 16,107 fewer students, but 1,583 more employees. What does that tell us about the direction public education administrations particularly have taken over the last decade?
Well, John, we've known it. We know that when schools get more money, it does not go to the classroom. It doesn't go for teacher raises. It goes to add layers of administrative bureaucracy. And so that chart that was shared on Facebook just absolutely illustrates that, that the data doesn't lie. And, you know, when we hear all this rhetoric about we prioritize teachers, if I'm a teacher currently in the system, I've got to be going, that's not what the data is telling us.
Yeah, you know, one of the most shocking things that I noticed in that chart that you showed is there was only one category where they actually declined, and it was in teachers. The number of teachers actually fell by over 300 during that period of time. So the one metric, they actually fired. They actually lost teachers. So of all areas where you would think that they would actually be trying to grow, they've cut teachers, but they've grown in administrators, for example.
Right, and I have no doubt if they're successful in suing the state for more money again, that's where the money will go, because that's where it's gone every single time they get an influx of money. It goes to layers of bureaucracy. And so we as a legislature have got to put our foot down and say no more.
So we've heard that many of these new positions aren't classroom teachers, they're administrators. You mentioned it. There are four Johnson County school districts that are now suing the state with taxpayer money for more taxpayer money. Can you walk us through that? I mean, first off, I don't think they should be able to use taxpayer money to sue the state, but can you walk us through exactly what they're doing and why?
Yeah, agree, John. I've argued for years you shouldn't be able to use taxpayer money to sue the taxpayers, but here we are yet again. They can't defend the results that we've gotten with the billions of dollars we've added. The results aren't there, so they have to, of course, go to their worn-out playbook of suing the state for more money. But they're suing on the basis of education funding and saying that the legislature isn't living up to its lawful obligation. But, John, if you read the statute, it very clearly says 92% subject to appropriation. In fact, in our education funding task force, we have a superintendent that's on that task force who was bemoaning how they have to transfer money from their general fund because of the special education funding shortfall. Well, we looked up his district, and he actually was getting 93.2%, more than the 92% that we are supposedly obligated to fund. And so he was rather quiet from that point on. But it's all a distraction from the fact that they can't produce the results with the funding that they've gotten from Gannon. And you're right, the governor said it repeatedly. Schools are fully funded.
We're talking with State Senator Renee Erickson. I know lawmakers are currently preparing to write the state's school finance formula, which I commend you all for being willing to even take that on. What reforms should be included to ensure taxpayer dollars are actually reaching the classroom and improving achievement rather than expanding bureaucracy?
Oh, John, I said in the last meeting, it's not complicated, but it's difficult to implement because we have people who don't want to actually fund the classroom. But what we have to focus on as legislators is student outcomes. We need to fund what works for our kids. And if we do that, I think the rest will take care of itself. Districts are going to have to provide positive student outcomes. What are we paying for? And they're going to have to show their work, and they're going to have to show improvement, or there has to be a consequence financially for that.
Is there any way, you know, one of the biggest arguments that I think we've seen for a long time has been the whole, well, we can't, the silo, you know, oh, our money is locked into this silo, so I can't take money. Is there any way to do away with that? Yeah, I remember when I came into the legislature as a freshman, there was a concept of block granting, where we give them all this one block of money and let the district, the individual school district, and the individual school board decide how they want to spend their money. Is there a way to go back to that concept?
John, we've done about all we can with that. We have removed a lot of those silos other than what's like federally required, like the school lunch money or bond and interest money for facilities. We have provided about as much flexibility as we can because I agree, districts need to be able to have some flexibility in spending. However, what we're seeing is they're not prioritizing the right things to improve student outcomes. We have, schools are doing less with more, way lower outcomes for way more money. There's no getting around it. Every metric shows that. Yet they're a one-trick pony. Give us more money, more time and more money. So I asked the group, I said, how much time and how much money? And the only thing they have is more.
Yeah, they do remind me of the little of Oliver from Oliver Twist. You know, please, may I have some more with his little board battle or bowl of porridge? And that does seem to be their constant answer. I remember when I was a freshman legislator, I went and met with the Goddard school superintendent, and I asked him finally at one point. I said, "Well, how much is enough? How much? Give me a dollar figure." And he actually said, which is why we use this theme song. He actually said, it will never be enough. And that was so frustrating to hear that but that is their attitude, isn't it? It will never be enough. They will always want more money, even though that's not sustainable.
Absolutely. And you know what? At least he was honest about it.
Yeah, I did appreciate the fact that he was honest in his stupidity. But if folks want to talk to you, if they have questions, if they want to reach out, if they want more information on the task force, what's the best way for them to reach out and contact you, Renee?
Absolutely. Social media, email, all of that's available on the state legislative website or on social media. Glad to visit with folks.
You know, I do have to ask, the filing deadline is tomorrow, and you're not here tonight. So is there a particular reason that you're out of town and not here tonight? Are you going to be making any announcements tomorrow, Renee?
The only announcement I'm going to be making, John, is from Oklahoma City. We are with our granddaughter watching the Women's College World Series.
So okay, I had to try.
I can't be with you tonight.
you can't blame me for trying. There's just been a lot of rumors about you and gubernatorial campaigns, and you know we always need. By the way, Pat Proctor's looking for an opponent. If you want to run for Senate. All right, Renee.
I'm very happy being state senator. Thank you very much.
I had to ask you. You know, all right, Renee. You have fun, and we'll check in with you soon, I'm sure. Thank you much.
Thanks,
coming
John.
Up, speaking of Representative Pat Proctor, he is here, and he will update us on his campaign for Secretary of State. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330. Kay, nobody wants to run against you, Pat. Yeah. He'll be with us here right after this.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. As of 2 o'clock this afternoon, Colonel Pat Proctor is the only Republican running for Secretary of State. Let's hope it stays that way. Colonel Proctor served in the Army from 1989 to 2019. Thank you for your service, sir.
It's an honor to serve.
He and his wife are from came to Fort Leavenworth in 2006. They own the Bantai restaurant chain, so they own not the one here in Wichita.
No.
We need to come to Wichita and open up one for us. He also serves in the legislature now. He currently chairs the House Ethics or Elections Committee and chair the Joint Committee on Kansas Security, and he joins us now. Colonel Proctor, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
And I've been ribbing you, but you're a good friend, and so I only do so because I love you. So it is.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to breathe easy until November.
No,
because we've got a serious Democrat opponent, and anything could happen before noon tomorrow,
yep.
too. So,
the universal yes. rule in politics is run like you're 5 points behind.
Amen. So, run like you're being chased.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Let me ask you, speaking of which, I want to ask you, something happened yesterday, kind of strange. Kansas voters hoping to change their party affiliation online, they're running out of time because you only have until tomorrow. And then yesterday, the Secretary of State's office announced that the online voter registration system had been offline for the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, so first of all, just so all your listeners know, it's back up now. But people have till noon tomorrow. Noon tomorrow, whatever party you're registered as, that's what you are for the primary. So if you are considering changing, go now.
So maybe our buddy Dion can switch to what he normally
right. If you get him to do that, I'm buying you a beer after the show. But what happened was, in order to register online, you have to put in your driver's license number, and the KDOR decided that this would be a great time to update their system.
Oh, great time!
Didn't tell anybody, didn't tell the Office of Information Services, didn't tell Secretary of State's office. And I think this just highlights that, you know, we need a governor and we need secretaries of the different departments that work well with the rest of the government.
Yeah, that play nice together.
Divided, this is just a symptom of divided government. We need a good Republican governor that's going to work with the legislature, going to work with the other elected statewide offices to get things done. But I'd also like to highlight, you know, this year we passed House Bill 2438. It was part of a package we call the Save Kansas Act. And it's going to require the Secretary of State's office to revamp the standards for the online registration so that it's more secure and so that people's information is more secure. And the thing I really like about it is all these third-party websites that look like government websites that are harvesting your data so they can come back and harvest your ballot later, they have to be certified by the Secretary of State's office if they want to register a Kansas voter online.
We see a lot of these. I've seen people, you know, all over the place registering people. The Sedgwick County GOP has been out trying to register people to vote, but I do see a lot of these organizations, particularly like we were at the Nomar Open Streets, but there were a number of these organizations that were also at Nomar doing voter registration, but they weren't affiliated with a party.
Yeah, there's these groups. They hate when I call them this, so I call them this all the time. The Axis of Ballot Harvesting, ACLU, League of Women Voters, Loudlight. They've been hijacked by these huge left-wing nonprofits that are just awash in foreign money, awash in George Soros money, and they've set up these third-party websites. Loudlight set up ksvotes.org. You go to it, and it looks like you're registering on a government website, but actually you're giving you're giving all your information, all your personally identifiable information to these left-wing groups that then use it to harvest your data.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, do not go to KS Votes.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of GOP candidates that will link KS Votes on their pages. I'm like, no, do not do that.
It's because it looks like the real deal.
Yeah,
it looks legit, and it's intended to deceive voters so they can steal their information.
So what other election changes would you like to see enacted next year when you are Secretary of State?
God willing.
I'm confident.
We had a lot of great bills that were left on the cutting room floor, frankly, because we didn't have enough votes to override a veto because we got a Democrat governor. One of the ones I loved was very simple. Make that poll worker that's doing that voter ID check before they give you a ballot the last line of defense to make sure that non-citizens aren't voting. All we were going to do is we were going to put citizen or non-citizen on your driver's license so that that poll worker, when you hand them your driver's license, looks and says, yes, that's a citizen, and hands you a ballot. Or says, hey, you're a non-citizen. You're not allowed to vote. And, you know, you would think that was a layup shot. But, you know, Democrats were screaming and wailing and gnashing teeth, and unfortunately a couple moderate Republicans were with them, and we weren't able to override the veto. So that's going to be one of the first things I try to do when I go back. Some other stuff that we left on the cutting room floor, honestly, is about increasing turnout for the local elections. You know, it drives me nuts. When I was out knocking doors for my House race, everybody's asking me to lower their property taxes. I'm a state rep. We just gave away our last 1.5 mils. Your property taxes, 75% of that bill is set by your schools and by your city. Yet turnout for these local races in these odd years is 10, 11, 12, 13%.
Yeah, I think the last local was 12%, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
Here in Wichita,
12%.
That's terrible when you think how much budget the city and the county and the school board are dealing with. I mean, look, the Wichita School Board tomorrow is going to vote on an $815 million, no, $600 and something million bond.
Yeah.
And again, they have, you know, the last election, they had 12% voter turnout.
Yeah.
Let me ask you then, can we move that to even years? And can we just, everybody knows, by the way, none of these are partisan. Nobody buys. So can we make them partisan? Yeah.
That's absolutely what I tried to do this year. And we couldn't do it without a Republican governor. And so it's going to be on my legislative agenda next year. Let's move all the races to the even year.
And because just get rid of the off-year elections.
Exactly. It costs half as much because you're doing half as many elections, and the elections are paid for with property taxes from the county. So you're saving money by doing it. But more importantly, you know, everything we've done in the legislature about property taxes, you know, truth in taxation and this 3% cap on budgets and all the other things we've tried are trying to apply accountability to local government. There is accountability if everybody shows up and votes in their elections. And while we're at it, Wouldn't it be great if we told voters something about these candidates by putting an R or D next to their name?
Yeah, exactly.
So that they knew who they were voting for? Because, you know, Republicans are responsible. You know, they don't want to vote if they don't understand what it is they're voting on. I think that that's half the problem with the turnout is there's no R or D next to the name, and it's so hard to find out about the local candidates. People just stay home rather than make a bad decision. They make no decision, which turns out to be a bad decision.
We're talking with State Representative Pat Proctor. And I know I've got a break coming up, but two quick questions for you, Pat. If and by the way, anything that we're talking about here, not only do we need a Republican governor, but we need the right Republican governor.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there are a couple of, one in particular, of the Republican candidates for governor who would not sign. So now you're going back to needing that supermajority. But if voters can be trusted to elect their governors, their attorney generals, their legislators, why shouldn't they be trusted to elect their Supreme Court judges?
Amen. I was proud to cast a vote in favor of putting that on a ballot this August for Kansas voters to decide on. This is how a plurality of states choose their Supreme Court justices. And, by the way, this is how Kansas used to choose their Supreme Court justice for the first 100 years of its history.
Right.
And so we're really just going back to how the framers initially intended for us to do it. And I'll tell you,
21 other states already do it.
Exactly. And, you know, people don't know this. Everybody focuses on the abortion decision, which was awful. Everybody focuses on the Carr brothers decision, which is awful. We came within one vote of the legislature losing the ability to legislate on election laws. By one vote, we saved the right of the people to decide how their elections are held. They were going to make it a strict scrutiny, which would basically throw the gates open and nullify all of our laws on voter ID, on signature verification, all these things that we put in place to make sure that only valid voters are voting and only valid votes are being counted. And so the Supreme Court is a disaster.
Well, the Supreme Court's already taken away the legislature's ability to fund education. I mean, they might as well just take the power of purse completely away from the legislature at this point.
Yeah, if there's any silver lining, it's that we haven't had any crazy decisions since we passed that amendment. Because they don't want any bad publicity so that people vote to make them be subjected to the ballot box like every other public official. And so I'll tell you. Anybody who's thinking, oh, well, I wish we weren't voting. I wish it was, selected by the governor and approved by the Senate. This is the amendment. This is the only one we're getting, okay? It is a minor miracle. It is an act of God that we were able to get this on the ballot. It ain't coming back. If people don't come out in August and vote for this thing, we're not going to get another chance in our generation. And this vote is more important than my race, more important than the governor's race. This is going to transform Kansas if we can fix our Supreme Court and make them accountable to the people like the rest of our government.
Well, if folks are interested, again, you're running for Secretary of State. If they have questions, if they want information, if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, they can visit Pat Proctor, 4KS, and that's the number 4.com, correct?
Yes, sir. And, steamrolling through the primary, God willing.
Apparently, you scared off all your competition.
Unless something happens on Monday, but we've got a really, really tough opponent in November. She's backed by Marchon Pack. She's going to have buckets of money because they really, really, really hate me a lot.
Well, and so, you know what Winston Churchill said about that? If you've got enemies, good, you're doing something right. So keep up the good work. And again, it's Pat Proctor for the number 4KS.com, brother. Best of luck. You have my complete full endorsement, so that may hurt you, but you've got it anyway. And again, it's PatProctor4KS.com. I wish you all the best, my friend. We will take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls or grab someone out of the audience and see what kind of trouble we can get into here. We're broadcasting live from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas, right here downtown Wichita at Union Station. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity, the great group of folks. They believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. And, hey, grab Phil for me real quick. Grab Phil for me. Knock on that glass right there and grab him for me. Somebody grab Phil. Phil. There we go. Phil, when is the next walk day? June 27th, that's what I thought. So the next walk day, if folks are interested and they want to come out and they want to walk for Americans for Prosperity, bingo, yes, grab that real quick. The next walk day is June 27th, correct?
Correct.
And if folks want to come out and they want to volunteer, they want to door knock, they want to get out and walk for folks, they can do that on the 27th. And if they want to sign up, how can they do that?
Yes, we actually have a Facebook event on our Facebook page at Americans for Prosperity-Kansas. That's one place. We also have a website, AFP Kansas or Sunflower State Solutions.
There we go. See how easy that is? That's why we do these where I can just grab people at random and pull them in. So, see, thank you. See how easy that was. Phil's our host tonight, by the way. So, but and speaking of which, we're broadcasting live at Americans for Prosperity's headquarters down here at Union Station. And that's a great way to make your voice heard. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org. You can also find information about their walks and about some of the other activities that they're doing on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Also with us right now, sitting next to me, is Paula Langworthy. She's running for district court judge, correct?
Correct, 18th court
judge. 18th district court judge here in Sedgwick. Is this the first time you've run for office?
It is.
Oh, so it's like drinking from a fire hose. This is great. I love first-time candidates. So we get to be all kinds of mean to you. I mean, nice to you.
Informative
to you. Okay, so why? What? I mean, you just have a glutton for punishment to decide to run for office?
Well, I've always wanted to be a judge. That is something that I've strived for since a young age when I had a bad experience in a court system and in family law court. And so I have planned my career so that I had a diverse practice as a lawyer.
What kind of law did you practice?
I've practiced business litigation at a large firm here in Wichita, and I've also been solo practitioner in family law for the last 10 years. I'm also a tribal court judge.
Really?
I am. For the last 15 years, I've served as a special judge for a tribe in South Dakota.
So that gives you, that's a diverse background. And it's interesting, so it's going to be interesting. There are a number of these questions I might not be able to ask, because I know when I've interviewed judge candidates in the past, they go, well, I can't comment on that, or I can't comment on this. Like the judicial question, I may not be able to ask you about the judicial question, the constitutional amendment, because that may be one that you can't weigh in on. But, like, for example, I can. Do you like the idea of having a partisanship in the? I mean, like, you know, are you a Republican? Can I ask you that question?
You can. I am a Republican. I am a staunch Republican, very conservative, and have strong family values. As for the constitutional amendment, I can't tell you my opinion on that. But what I can do is tell you that I believe reform is necessary.
That's a nice way of. Well, I'll allow the audience to gather to guess where you are on that one. If folks are interested, they can find information a little bit more on Facebook. You're at Paula Langworthy, and that's Langworthy for judge on Facebook, correct?
Correct.
Let's see how easy that was. Piece
yes.
of cake.
Thank
Coming
you.
Up, my friend Dion Leffler will join me. He's sitting right across from me, and he's ready to go, and we will have one of our usual point-counterpoint conversations. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, recently the Help Not Harm Act was put on hold by a liberal judge from Lawrence. Where have we heard that before? That's Senate Bill 63, for those keeping score. It's a state law designed to prohibit health care providers from performing or providing, quote, gender-affirming medical treatments to minors. It explicitly prohibits prescribing puberty blockers or hormone therapy to minors, performing gender transition surgery on minors, and providing them from referring children, doctors, for referring children to other doctors for these specific medical treatments. In his May 21st op-ed, Wichita Eagle opinion editor Dion Leffler referred to the Attorney General's legal defense of the act by saying that Chris Kobach, quote, sends mixed messages on parents' rights. So with us now to explain why he feels that way is my friend Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle. Dion, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Good to be here. And that's the perfect choice of song.
Yes.
I once did audio for a concert by the band.
Oh,
so,
did you?
Yeah, back in the day. But the there's one thing I want to clear the air on first.
Yes.
And that is in the promotion of this show, you said that surgery for children, and I do not support that. Nobody I know supports that.
You're right. I did say that why you think minors should have life-affirming surgery. So fair enough. I take that back.
Okay, yeah, because I've looked up the stats on that. There's a Harvard study. You can see it on the National Institute of Health website. And out of roughly 23 million children whose records were examined, there were zero surgeries performed on anybody under 12. In sort of the middle age group there, it was 0.5 per 100,000.
That's still too many.
Well, 0.5 per 100,000, that's 1 in 2 million.
That's still too many in my opinion. There should be, the number should be zero.
Among the 15, 16, and 17-year-olds.
Should still be zero.
Well, it was 2.1. And the
it
interesting
still
thing,
should be zero.
Well, the interesting thing about it, John, is that 97% of those surgeries were done on heterosexual boys who were growing breasts.
Well, first off,
so if you want boys to have to walk around with boobs, you can be against it.
I would say two things in response. One, I don't trust anything Harvard says because I think we've established that Harvard's a bunch of racists. But the second thing is, more than one is too many, in my opinion. I think the whole notion that we're allowing minors to have any kind of gender life-altering surgery is horrendous. It's so inappropriate and so unfortunate.
So you want the boys to have to walk around and have big
you're
breasts.
You're assuming.
So yeah, that's
you're assuming you're, that that's what they're doing. I haven't seen the study, so I can't really.
That's what the study said. 97%.
And I haven't seen the study.
97% of and it was like 85 cases across the country out of 22
million
kids.
Which again is too many in my opinion.
Okay,
one
well,
is too
whatever.
Many.
You know,
I can't defend it. I haven't seen the study, but I have read your article about the Attorney General, and,
yes.
and it seemed like you were essentially calling the Attorney General a hypocrite, but I'll let you explain what you were saying.
Yeah, at minimum. Basically, Chris Kobach's record on this has been that parents' rights are supreme. Parents' rights, uber alles. And so...
In what context? 'Cause he,
well, in the
give,
context...
Give the two examples that you gave.
Well, in the context of kids who wanted to use alternate pronouns at schools, Chris Kobach threatened school districts.
I think in that specific reference, wasn't he saying that schools should inform parents if a child, and that his argument was that a school district should be required to inform.
Yes, he did argue that.
Right.
And then he reversed course.
Let's address that. Why shouldn't a school district be required to inform parents if a child is doing this?
Because, there are various... There's a whole spectrum of possible responses to that. And the safety of the child could be at stake.
Could be, would be. Isn't the parent the one that makes this decision, not the school district?
Well, so if we're going to argue that, then we should be able to say that parents should be the ones to make the decision of to whether, as to whether to
but whether
support
you,
their children.
I would agree with that, except in the case where you're talking about somebody who comes up with a name or they want to call themselves by something. What I call myself is one thing. Biologically altering with a permanent surgical treatment that will fundamentally alter my body for the rest of my life is a little different than I want to call, I'm Little Billy and I want to be called Little Sally. That's sure. A little different than cutting off a body part.
Well, since nobody's doing that, there's
well, according to one Harvard study,
according to one Harvard study, and according to the testimony in the case that you were talking about.
Again, I haven't read it, so I can't speak to it.
But KU,
you see, there's a slight
the KU
difference.
KU clinic that
again,
that
I haven't read it, so I can't speak to it. But there's a little difference between what you call
KU?
Yourself.
I mean, do you hate KU as much as you hate Harvard?
I actually went to KU, and trust me, having gone to KU, I know how liberal they are. But again, I haven't read the study, so I can't speak to the Harvard study. But what I can say is it's a little different when you're talking about a permanent, fundamental, biological, physical change, cutting off a body part versus calling yourself a different name or going by a different pronoun.
But you're...
You're not comparing apples to oranges
But the simple fact of it is, they're not doing that.
Well, according
these
to
are
you,
not, these
they're
are the
not
medical
doing
guidelines. It. There are medical guidelines that specifically prohibit it.
Well, that's
and
what we're trying to do.
Guidelines
that's what
are
the
being
laws
followed. So you know, I don't understand this, John. I really don't.
You don't understand why the Attorney General doesn't think that minors should be able to make life-altering, irreversible surgeries to their bodies because they're minors.
So do you have a problem with reversible procedures?
I don't think they should be making any life-altering surgeries, whether they're reversible or irreversible, as a minor.
So you have a child, and this child has gender dysphoria.
Which is a mental disorder.
Well... You have a child, and they have gender dysphoria,
which is a mental disorder.
Well, let's be a little less judgmental here, shall we?
Well, I think that is a medical condition, but okay.
But that causes children stress. That mm-hmm. stress and lack
and then
of
you
acceptance.
Need to treat that.
Lack of acceptance at home causes, you know, it causes runaways, causes homelessness, it causes child trafficking. And it causes suicide.
That's very unfortunate. Everything you've said is unfortunate.
And so, you know, my problem with the Attorney General's perspective on this is that if parents want to try to force their kids to not be so queer, you know, he's all for it. If parents want to support their child and give them the treatment that they need, then all of a sudden, parents' rights are out the window.
Well, actually, I think in the case you referenced, it wasn't the parent. It was his argument was that the school district shouldn't be...
No, I'm talking about the case. I'm talking about the subsequent case, which is the court case that we brought up here at the beginning, which was the case out of Lawrence.
Gotcha.
And,
I don't see hypocrisy.
I have a hard time juxtaposing
AG,
those two things. And finding any mental consistency in that at all, unless you're simply wanting to torment, you know, trans people, which obviously Kris Kobach wants to do.
Okay.
And
I don't think he has any desire to torment trans people, but...
Well, he certainly does it enough. I mean, you don't want it on the label. Don't put it in the jar.
I think we'll leave that one right there. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Wichita Eagle opinion editor Dion Loeffler. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show live on location at the headquarters of Americans for Prosperity, Kansas, right here at Union Station on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from Union Station, Americans for Prosperity's headquarters right here in downtown Wichita. Less than 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the Kansas Supreme Court selection process. 21 states already use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. 55 Kansas counties already elect their judges. The Supreme Court should be no different. Visit votersnotlawyers.com to find out more. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So Dion and I have talked. And for the rest of this segment, and who knows how much longer after that, we're going to take callers at 316-869-1330 and audience questions. So if you've got a question for Dion or for me or for both of us, we're going to take audience and phone and callers who want to have questions for Dion or for me. And we'll just continue our point-counterpoint conversation. But if you've got a question from here from our live studio audience, there's a microphone right here. Just come on up and ask, or you can dial again, 316-869-1330.
So, I love playing the away games.
You're good. That's, you know, that's why we do these. It's kind of fun.
Never had home field advantage yet.
There's conspiring going on in the audience right now as people are, what should we ask? So, yes, if you'd like to ask Dion a question,
to answer anything,
you can dial 316-869-1330, and Phil will take your question and we'll put you on the air. Or, of course, you can just step up and grab the microphone. So, interesting. We've got a filing deadline tomorrow, Dion. Your chance to run.
Well, you know, I still work for the newspaper, so I'm not allowed to run for things.
I still work for the station, so I got the same problem.
Yeah, you know. It's,
but I've thought about it.
It's kind of a thing.
But, yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, I got in a year and a half, I'll be 67, so,
yeah.
You know, maybe...
maybe you'll run
maybe
for
I'll,
office.
Maybe I'll throw, you know, maybe I'll throw the hat.
Hey, you know, trust me, I've been asked to do the same. Yeah. So, Ryan, we have a question from one of our studio audience members, Ryan.
So you said a lot, you know, saying that transgender youth or people that are considering transition have high suicide rates. I'm wondering if there's any evidence that once they complete the transition, they go through hormones, if their suicide rate, their depression rate actually decreases at all.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, I just met a couple of transgender children or teenagers like in the past week, and they seemed perfectly legitimate. They were, you know, engaging. They were polite. They honored their mother and father. And
have there been any studies that show
there
that?
Are studies, yes. I cannot quote you the
According
chapter.
To the National Institute of Health, transgender individuals who undergo gender-affirming surgery, which I hate gender-affirming surgery, by the way, because there's no gender-affirming
about it.
We're
not talking about surgery, John. We're talking about hormones.
Any procedure. This is according to the National Institute of Health. Transgender individuals who undergo gender-affirming care face a significantly elevated risk of suicide attempts and death by suicide compared to the general population. And this is post-surgery or care.
Well, there's...
So it doesn't actually make them any better.
Well, I mean...
According to the National Institute of Health.
I have read studies that show a reduction in the suicidality, of young people who are affirmed via not surgery, but via via the hormone treatments and puberty blockers and those kinds of things.
So should we restrict surgery?
Surgery already is restricted. It's practically non-existent.
A young woman that I know, her name is Chloe Cole. She tours a lot of campuses with Turning Point with
She's
us.
She's a detransitioner.
Detransitioner. Yes. And she had a double mastectomy at 15 years old. She'll probably never be able to medically have children of her own. And she's not the only one.
Why would that be?
Because she had a hysterectomy.
Well, that case, in fact, she testified in the case we're talking about vis-a-vis Lawrence. And that was basically ruled to be irrelevant because it is so far outside of the norm of medical practice.
But
what
happened
to her? Well, you know, I don't
know. And I know other people that
I don't know
to.
Her story. But it really wasn't relevant to the issue at hand, which was...
Well, it's going
to
be relevant for the next 80 or for the rest of her life. She's never going to be able to really live a normal life as a woman. And there's many young people that's happened to.
How many? What are you basing
that on? I've heard of the Chloe Cole
yes,
case.
There's another woman, Laura, I can't remember her last name, but there are people who regret, especially when you do it at such a young age. I don't have the statistic in front of me, but the percent of young people who have gender dysmorphia or whatever you want to label it, who end up in their adult life, that doesn't affect them anymore. They identify with their, quote, biological sex.
Well, when treatment is limited to hormone injections and puberty blockers...
Do you believe that those are reversible?
Yes, they are.
Well, I think the science
when
on
you
that
stop,
is mixed.
When you stop taking them, you revert to original biological type. Most people, in fact, I think it was a statistic given in the lawsuit, was that... approximately 90% of people who undergo these treatments continue the treatments, but most of them don't fully transition ever. They settle into somewhere between and just consider themselves not binary. But the thing is, it's like, it's a freedom thing. I mean, I don't know, you know, what psychological, you know, I don't know what psychological jam you get out of, you know, trying to make these people more miserable. And it really doesn't.
Well, I guess I don't think that there's really been proof that going through gender reassignment, whether you want to say surgery or just hormones, that the funding and studies behind the post-transition is, I think we've kind of agreed, is very non-existent. And the ones that do, I know John said it, there's really no proof that the suicidality decreases. And really, that part is almost just shoved to the side. It doesn't support the agenda. They're worried that it's not going to support the agenda, the true outcome.
Well, I can tell you that children who are supported by their parents and, you know, receive receive supporting treatment do better on suicidality.
Well, I can say, just to give you a little context here, and Ryan, we appreciate the question, the National Institute of Health, again, context here, according to the National Institutes of Health, because puberty blockers, particularly the long-term effects, temporarily suspend the natural progression of puberty, the potential for long-term health or fertility impacts are still the subject of ongoing global medical study and review, and whether or not there are long-term detrimental effects has not been confirmed. So this is according to the National Institute of Health. So when you say there are no and that it is reversible, the science is still not decided on that. For example, puberty blockers can temporarily slow down bone material density, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not completely reversible. The science is still undecided on this. And that's why I think so many people are saying, whoa, you're rushing this stuff, because the science isn't confirmed on this. And that's why people are saying, well, you can't be making life-altering decisions when the science isn't confirmed.
But you're going to
there
are
still studies. You got kids making major fundamental life biological decisions based on a feeling, based on based on a mental condition, and there could be major long-term effects to their bodies.
You're going to have to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah. So we would prefer you err on the side of not hurting their bodies,
not treating children as hamsters.
I'd rather have a live trans child than a dead.
That's exactly what they told Chloe's parents. If you don't go along with this, you're going to have a daughter that kills herself.
Right.
Well, and you're blackmailing,
and they might have.
Blackmailing parents.
They might have.
I'd rather we not have a kid that's permanently altering themselves or harming their bodies based on a feeling.
But they're not.
Because, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a cowboy, and then I wanted to be an astronaut, and then I wanted to be a, you know, whatever. And you know what? That changes. I'm still not a cowboy or an astronaut, but I didn't launch myself into space. And this is what we're looking at here. I didn't go ride a bull when I was 8 years old either. And my parents didn't let me do it because they knew what was best for me. And again, these are the long-term effects, and I think we can't be putting ourselves or our kids in these kinds of positions. We are up against a break, and I've got two callers here, Dawn and Ray, that have questions. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll take questions. If you don't mind sticking around.
I don't mind sticking around.
All right. Yeah, this is kind of fun.
Chair's comfortable.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle opinion editor for this is kind of fun. We'll take a quick break, and we'll, if you don't mind waiting as well, we'll be back. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show live on location at Union Station. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. Then, of course, make sure to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We're still here broadcasting live from Americans for Prosperity's headquarters downtown here at Union Station. With us now is Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle. Dawn, thank you for sticking around. You're on the John Whitmer Show.
Hey, John. Both of you know me, but you both know me as Dan.
Gotcha.
And Dion, you're full of poop.
Well, I don't. I think he disagrees with you.
You will never put me. You'll never listen to me about what this. What I have to go through. What I have to deal with. And I wish both of you would listen to us, because we don't like what you're doing on Dion and to giving the false story about suicide. We're struggling, but we're not suicidal, majority of us. John, we have problems. We're maybe a little bit weird, but listen to us. And I'm speaking for at least people that I know that feel exactly the same way I do. And what you guys are doing, discussing this, battling this, and leaving us out, is completely unfair.
Well, Diane, I'm assuming that Dawn is a member of the trans community, and doesn't like either of our takes on the issue.
Well, you've got the microphone there, Dawn. What's your take on this? I mean, should people be able to get treatment?
Leave the kids alone. Give them support.
That's the key. Okay. Where I would agree is you can't let minors be having these kinds of procedures.
You have to involve the parents, because their parents are the most important people in the world to them. Now, in some circumstances, you might have to have them with guidance and the parents with guidance, but you should not force people into the norm. I've been diagnosed and then I've been forced into situations that fits their diagnosis, not mine.
Well, I don't think I'm advocating.
That's a very tough place. You want to talk about suicide? That's where it comes from.
Well,
you get to a ramp down a road that you don't want to go down, but that's the only path that's given to you. Well, I want to live my life. I don't really want to be forced into anybody's form. I want to live my life.
Well, I guess I don't understand exactly what you're objecting to, because I'm not saying that anybody should be forced to,
well,
you know,
when you get diagnosed as trans, you are automatically put on a road towards transition. Now, it may not be what you're ready for, may not be what you want, but that's where you're going.
And what if they are ready? We're talking about banning it. Well, we're talking about a ban on the procedures that you yourself have taken.
Okay, there should not be surgery before, or even hormones before the age of 18.
Well, I can agree with you.
We don't know what we're doing.
I can agree with you on the surgery.
Thank you. But that's not the norm.
But the hormones are reversible.
When you get diagnosed, you're pushed into a category, and the hormones are coming.
You said that again about reversible, but the science, as we've seen from the National Institutes of Health, and Don, I appreciate the call, but even the science itself from the National Institutes of Health has indicated that the science isn't known here. The science is still unknown on this, so you can't say it's reversible.
Well, if you read the court decision and read the testimony that was given in
from a Lawrence judge,
we're talking about testimony from the. We're talking about testimony from the gender clinic at the University of Kansas. You know, and several actually
right,
they brought
that,
in
okay,
they
I,
brought in national experts, and Chris Kobach brought in politicians. You know,
well,
so I mean, it's,
okay,
it's.
I did not see the. Okay, well, testimony is testimony. I'm going to stick with the National Institutes of Health, which is
testimony from doctors who do these. You know, who do these procedures?
Who have a profit incentive to do these procedures? But
working for
again,
a public hospital.
And Dr. Fauci made money off of COVID, and so he had a profit incentive too. He was being paid by Pfizer, and I'm sure you took his word for it. The bottom line is, if the National Institute of Health is saying that the science is undecided on this, we shouldn't be making gender-affirming decisions.
So parents then should not have the right to do...
I didn't say they should have the right.
They shouldn't
I'm
have
just
the
saying
right to support their children.
You shouldn't
in
be making
way.
Definitive
the
conclusions.
Parents should not be allowed to make medical decisions for their children.
I'm saying that you can't say that it's decided science when it isn't.
Well...
We got another one here.
Decision.
Ray, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Yes, let's follow the science a little bit more.
you because what Don said is on point. And the psychiatrists and the psychologists have all said that a child's brain isn't fully formed in the area of reasoning and decision-making until their mid-20s. Now, the only reason a little child would decide that they want to cut their breasts off is because the parents said, oh, well, little girl, if you're not happy with your breasts, well, none of them are happy with their breasts. They aren't fully developed yet. And then the boys, you know, the little boys, if they're unhappy for a moment about their physicality, you know, if the parent says, oh, we need to, you know, let's cut that off too. It's not the child's decision. The parents just say, hey, let's run with that idea. But all the psychiatrists and psychologists and the people that do studies with MRIs and CAT scans of brains tell you that the brain is not fully developed to make decisions. We don't let them have guns. Why would we let them chop body parts off?
Well,
what do you say to Ray?
Well,
and Ray, appreciate the call.
Ray, I think what we're talking about here is not, well, first of all, that is the reason that you cite there is exactly the reason that these decisions are made by parents. They're not made by the child. The parents consult with medical professionals.
But you, earlier you talked about if the parents don't want to make the decision and won't let the child, then the child should be able to make the decision for themselves.
Well, no, what I was saying was that it's often harmful to the child to out them, basically, to the parents if the parents aren't prepared for that. And, you know, so, you know, and when we're talking about Mr. Kobach, he apparently seems to believe that if a parent wants to stop their child,
how did we get Chris Kobach back in?
Well, we were talking about.
You know, I think you have Kobach derangement
syndrome.
Well,
you just rotated back around to that. So I'm just answering your question, John.
You know, I love you, but
you just came back to it.
I do think.
I mean, you circle back around to this, and then you tell me not to talk about it. What's with you?
I do think that you kind of have a little obsession with Chris Kobach.
Well, you know, I mean, he's our attorney general, and he
and doing a hell of a job at it.
I can agree with you that he is doing a hell of a job.
There you go. All right, look at that. And Dion and Leffler and I finally agree on something. We will take a break, and then we'll see if we can sit down with Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity, talk a little, our host this evening, talk a little bit about judicial selection and whether or not we should pass the constitutional amendment. Dion will probably sit here and shoot swords at you while you're having that conversation. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Union Station. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS or by listening to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow us on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, coming up on the 18th, they've got the Sedgwick County Republican Party hosting a governor's candidate roundtable discussion at the Wichita Area Builders Association, and the 27th, the Lieutenant Governor's Candidate Debate at the Cozine Event Center. You can find information on both of those events coming up later this month, or rather next month. I keep forgetting, we're not quite at June yet, on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. With us now is Deb Lucia with our hosts, Americans for Prosperity. Deb, you know, we've talked a little bit tonight already about the upcoming August ballot initiative on Supreme Court justices. You know, I've brought it up a couple of times already about how many states already elect their judges, their Supreme Court judges, through direct election. And I think the biggest issue that I, when I talk to people about this, is the fact that our Kansas Supreme Court is still the most overturned court in the country.
And yes, and that's exactly right. It's actually kind of embarrassing when you look at it. With the cases that have gone to the U.S. Supreme Court from the state of Kansas, 90% of the time they're overturned. And they're overturned at rates where 8-0 overturned, or 8-1.
Yeah, it's not a partisan issue. I mean, it's both sides, the liberal and the conservative justices are overturned. The Carr brothers is a great example. I mean, that was unanimous. And it frustrates me so much that these are bad decisions, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And there's nothing to do about it, and we currently have no voice. You know, where people talk about, well, with this democracy, 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 what is more democratic than voting, being able to vote and select the people that you want to represent?
Right, right. We're right now not allowed to vote for the most powerful judges in the state.
In the state. And we have zero voice whatsoever. Nothing. There's nothing we could say. There's nothing we can do. And we should have a choice. We should be able to say, I like this judge or I don't like this judge. And we should know something about them before they get selected for the Supreme Court. Right now, it's secretive. We know nothing about these people. We have three new people that are up. I tried to find information on them online. I can't find anything about them, or very little information about them.
The only thing I could find on the one was that he was the Lawrence judge that put a stay on the Help Not Harm Act.
Correct.
Which makes him literally one of the most liberal judges in Kansas, because he thinks that, you know, little kids should be able to hack body parts off. And so that's the kind of guy that Laura Kelly is going to put on the Supreme Court.
Could.
Right.
Could potentially.
Probably will be the one she'll pick.
But we have, of the choices that we have, of the three, all of them come from Northeast Kansas. Guess what? Our entire Kansas Supreme Court right now, guess where they come from?
Northeast Kansas.
Yeah. So, I don't live in Northeast Kansas, right. Do you?
No.
Do you, Diane?
So Western Kansas has no representation.
Zero representation.
On our Supreme Court. This is an entire branch of our government is not represented. And I think that's another key part of this that frustrates me, they're not represented.
No, we're not represented. It's for us to be able to vote just restores the power back to the people. Right now, the people that are making the decisions for the Kansas Supreme Court are lawyers. That's who the Kansas Supreme Court reports to, are the lawyers. One of the big things is people say, oh, it's merit-based. No, it's crony-based. That's what it is. It's a bunch of lawyers decide, only lawyers, 1% of the population decides who's on the Kansas Supreme Court. And each district gets a ballot to vote for one person, but there's five members. The controlling members are all attorneys.
We have about 2 minutes or so, maybe a little over a minute. Dion, you have a quick question, I can tell.
Well, I just wanted to, when we're talking about the Judicial Selection Committee, it is not completely lawyers.
Well, but the majority is.
There's never been a vote in the Kansas, there's never been a vote by the committee on a 5-4 lawyer versus non-lawyer split.
Right, but I believe her point is that the majority, including the chair, are lawyers. And that means that the majority could control it, and that's all that matters, really.
Well, I'd like to mention one thing, and this is the thing that terrifies me about this.
We've only got 30 seconds. Real quick, okay. let me get
the resolution proposes
to this for her benefit. What is the website if people have questions?
To vote for this particular, yes, just go to the AFP Kansas website.
AFP Kansas, so AmericansForProsperity.org.
KS.org.
KS.org. Appreciate you joining. Tune in tomorrow for Woodward and Witt.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Girl, let's get real. Sun pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.